All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Our democracy is hanging by a thread, but we know it's not about just winning and losing each battle. It's about persistence and building resilience.
That's why we're launching the Practivist Pod, the practice of activism made practical.
If you're looking for ways to get engaged or just for ways to stay sane, we want to help you navigate what comes next.
It's an exciting collaboration with political dynamo Jess Craven, author of the Chop Wood, Carry Water newsletter.
And grassroots activist Steve Pearson, host of the How We Win podcast.
Every week on the Practivist Pod, we're going to have important conversations with changemakers, give you practical ways to make an impact, have some fun, and inspire hope.
This is more than a podcast. It's a place for our community to grow our practice of advocacy for justice, equity, and progress.
Action is the best antidote for anxiety. So subscribe to the Practivist Pod today.
Welcome to the Start Me Up podcast, part of MSW Media and the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. I'm your host, Kimberly Johnson in D.C. Today, my returning guest is D. Earl Stevens. He's the author of Toxic Tales, a Costa collection of Donald J. Trump's very important letters. He's the former managing editor of Stars and Stripes, a Navy vet, and a prolific writer. He has a Substack, Enough Already. I highly recommend it. We have so much to talk about. But before we get into it, the Start Me Up podcast is independent, listener-funded, and woman-run. Visit patreon.com/startmeup to see the variety of tiers offered, including the option to get a bonus What's Up episode every Tuesday. It's kind of like my online journal where I get a little more personal and I talk about whatever's on my mind. There's also an ad-free tier with a much shorter intro. Just visit patreon.com/startmeup. Now please enjoy my conversation with D. Earl Stevens. Welcome back to the show, Earl.
Hey, Kimberly, I'm glad to be here as always.
Yeah, well, we are both angry. So I think we're going to have a day of yelling and screaming and shouting.
Yeah, so that's right. Yeah, I'm pissed off, man.
I know you're pissed off and I'm pissed off too. And I think we're pissed off for the same reasons, but at the same time, I'm also getting really irritated with some of the comments regarding the boycotts that are coming up and all that. So we'll get into that in a minute.
Okay.
But I'm, you know, and when we start really talking about politics, I do want to begin with your Substack piece, There Will Be Blood. But before we get into that, I just want to know, we've talked personally since the election, but we haven't done a show. And right. So I just, you know, I mean, you're one of the most prolific writers out there. You have so much to say. It's so on point. And I'm just wondering, you know, how you're doing, what's going on with you. I mean, outside of what we're going to talk about, just like personally, how are you doing?
Not well. Mm-hmm. I'm sad for this country, obviously. We're headed down a terrible path right now.
Yeah.
Inconceivable even 10 years ago that we'd be in this place in America. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I guess I'm sad, but I think the anger has overtaken the sadness, and I'm not sure if that's a good or a bad thing.
It's probably good.
I think so too. I find myself being a lot more productive when I'm angry rather than sad.
Yeah, because when we get sad, we start, you know, I analyze this stuff a lot. And, you know, I've been going through my own personal things outside of all the obvious stuff that we're all going through. I've got my own personal situations going on. And so it's like I've been thinking about it. And I feel like, you know, when we are sad about something, when we're living in fear and we're living in that, you know, place where we feel hopeless or helpless, there's like a physical feeling that goes along with it. Like, you just want to, like, all I really want to do is hide under the covers. I want to fall asleep. Last night I didn't sleep so well. I woke up at like 5 o'clock in the morning and I just, it was really difficult to get back to sleep.
Yeah.
Part of it is because I'm older and I'm hot all the time. So that is part of it. But regardless, it's that mental dialogue that is chasing you around.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm really finding, trying to find that spot where I can, you know, I mean, it's not good to be angry all the time either. You know, I mean, it's good. I think it's better that it's like, it's better than feeling like you want to hide and you feel like that little 3-year-old who just wants to suck your thumb and you want your mommy to make it all better. And, you know, and that's not really productive.
No.
We also don't want to be angry all the time. Is there, do you do anything, you know, whether it's taking walks or exercise or something to kind of do that self-care? And if so, what do you do?
Oh yeah. I'm a pretty prolific exerciser, have been long before all of this carnage. I always needed that at the end of the day to kind of wind down from whatever it was I was doing. There's never been a time I didn't do some sort of a workout that I wasn't glad that I did it afterwards.
Yeah.
you know, that said, sometimes I want no part of it, do it anyway. And then,
right.
Wow, I'm sure glad I did that. So that's certainly part of it. You know, I like sports. I've been an athlete, been a sports writer. I guess you probably know a lot of this stuff. And so I try to kind of maybe just, you know, watch a ball game or something to try to forget about what the hell is really going on. And then I should say, I see the fans in the stands and I go, yeah, that's how we got here.
Okay. I know.
If anybody wants to know what America is about, watch any professionals, even a college game. And when they pan to the people in the stands, it's anyway. It's something I'm going to write about someday. I think it's this. Okay, well, this is really is how we got here, I guess. So
at any rate.
But yeah. So sports, you know, working out, play my guitar badly.
Oh. Well, all that, whatever it is that we can do. I mean, I always highly encourage that on this show. It doesn't really matter what it is, as long as it's making you feel a little bit more sane in a crazy world.
Right.
And it's just, you know, I just, before we even start getting into your piece, I just want to scream that Hillary warned us. You know, Hillary was very blunt about this. I talked about this with my friend Jen Taylor yesterday on her podcast. And, you know, it's been basically 10 years now since he came down that escalator. Mm-hmm. And Hillary Clinton told everybody he's a Russian asset.
Mm-hmm.
And then news organizations didn't want to say it. Nobody was allowed to say it. We all could see it. We all could see it. And then after Helsinki, it was so evident. But it took us, and, you know, that's another reason why we are where we are. Because people are too afraid, and this is going to launch right into There Will Be Blood. It's not just the Democratic Party, because it has been our news media. And, you know, there have been a number. I even got scolded by somebody who identified as a libertarian for talking about Putin recently and saying, you know, the Russia BS. And it's like, finally now the world is going, oh, okay, he's a Russian asset. And it's too late. You know, it's too late. They're destroying the government. November 11th, I'm just going to keep saying this over and over again. The Russian news agency put out a statement, basically the Putin's aide put out a statement saying, we helped you, we helped Donald Trump, and now it's Donald Trump's turn to help us. Mm-hmm. That's the responsible thing to do. And it was very mobster-like language.
Right.
So, you know, now they're starting to say it, but we're seeing so much. It's like I saw somebody refer to the Democrats as peaceful leaders, or I can't remember what the term was, but we're not in a time of peace now. So I do want you to talk about this piece, There Will Be Blood. I want you to really go over what you went over and just voice, because I've got some things to add to it, but I want you to talk about it since you wrote it.
Well, you know, it's one of those things as a writer that really came out in a gust.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, I find that my best stuff is written in about 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And you know, this stuff had been it was a little longer than 20 minutes, I should say. I wish I could write it in 20 minutes, but you know, it's something that I had been thinking about, which is good to do every now and then. You know, you asked a question earlier, what do you do to get away from it all? Well, this might not be getting away from it all, but I do make myself sit quietly and think, and really think about stuff. And I know that sounds pretty obvious, but I don't think a lot of people do that maybe, and really consider things. And so as I started thinking about where we are, in this country, in the world right now, and started plotting out, okay, we do this, they do that, we do this, we do that, where does it end up? And I considered this many times, and I ended up in the same place. We're going to end, it's going to be a violent end.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to be sensationalistic here or anything like that. I'm really not. I'm not promoting violence. I hate violence. You know, I don't like it at all. I don't own a gun. Maybe I should consider that. I know, I'm serious, a lot of liberals are telling me they're getting guns, which is, I get it, I guess. I just... I wouldn't want a gun because I think I'd get so mad at somebody I would just shoot them.
Oh,
right now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I don't want any more of that. But it, but back to the piece. So I started piecing the piece together, and it just, I don't see how we don't arrive at a place where there is some confrontation. Let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is no way in this known world that if we somehow make it 4 years, Trump is stepping aside.
Mm-hmm.
There's no damn way. And so we need to be operating under that very strong assumption. You know, as I put in the piece, late in the piece, the thing that he put on that dumpster of a website, True Social, that he was going to stop universities from protesting.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that it would be a crime if you protested. Well, yeah. This is as authoritarian can get.
Yeah.
It's exactly against the First Amendment. I tucked in the First Amendment right under this slop that he tweeted out or whatever you call it, just to show people where we are. You know, I mean,
yeah.
It's absolutely absurd. You know, if Putin had put that out, you go, yeah, okay, I guess so. But a president of the United States warning about protests? What, so, you know.
Well, I think it's not surprising considering what he did in 2020 with the upside down Bible. Yeah.
No, of course it's not. But I wonder why, that's not a major news story.
Yeah.
A major news story. And B, why there is little to no pushback from Democratic leadership about such an egregious attack on our rights.
Yeah, so, I don't understand. I mean, we have a few Democratic leaders out there that are really strong. And when I say strong, I mean, there's only so much they can do legislatively, right? Because the Republicans have a majority. So the way that the Democrats have to fight isn't through legislation. It's all different kinds of ways, and part of it is the way they're messaging, and it's like, okay, I'm gonna make a really weird analogy here.
Yeah.
But I was never like a Paris Hilton fan, so just I don't want anybody judging me or anything. But I saw that there was a documentary. I don't know if it was on YouTube, and it was about Paris talked about when she had to go to this school. And she was abused at this school, and many other kids were abused at this school. And the reason she had to go was because her parents, Kathy and whatever his name is, Rick Hilton, decided that Paris, because she was behaving basically like an average teenager, going out and drinking and partying and having fun, they decided that she was problematic and that she had to be sent to this school that, of course, was, you know, at least sold to them as, oh, we're going to set her straight. It wasn't like a military school, but it was kind of like the school for problem kids. So the way that they sent her to the school was in the middle of the night. These men came into Paris's bedroom and basically snagged her up and dragged her out of the house while Kathy stood there and watched as if she were just this helpless, I can't do anything. She arranged the whole goddamn thing.
Yeah.
And she watches her daughter be taken off to this school where she's abused. And I don't exactly remember all the abuse, but it was bad. It was mental and physical.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, obviously the Democrats did not make this happen in the way Kathy Hilton did, but they're reminding me of Kathy Hilton when they're just standing there. There could be things they could do. And they're just kind of going, I don't know.
That's interesting. That's a really interesting analogy. And it does make some sense. You know, I mean, part of the other thing that I said in the piece goes to that. And that disgraceful Oval Office meeting with Zelensky and that mutt JD Vance, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so what you saw from Zelensky, as I wrote, was a guy whose country is under attack, right? He was not going to back down to that fat fuck Trump. He was going to stand up to him. Because why? Because this whole country is on the line.
Yeah.
Everything. He is being attacked. And so what I could stand to see out of our goddamn Democratic leadership is the same zeal to fight what is happening right
now. Yeah.
We are losing our democracy every hour, every single damned hour. And they don't even seem to have any kind of cogent talking points to answer this stuff.
Yeah.
But the way they went about that stupid State of the Union the other night was a disgrace all in itself.
Mm-hmm.
It was disjointed. It was ping pong paddles. It was pink hats. It was ridiculous is what it was. There was, you know, while I'm rolling here, they should have walked out as soon as Warren was called Pocahontas. They mm-hmm. all should have left.
I don't do agree.
Know how you sit there and listen to that, you know, without either pushing back like Al Green did, or you just get the hell out of there. But I just think that it is so hard to watch guys like Jeffries and especially Schumer.
Mm-hmm.
What are they doing?
Yeah, like the peacetime. Peacetime elected officials, I think that's what they're called. And it's like, yeah, this is not peacetime. I spoke again, I was on Jen Taylor's podcast yesterday, and mm-hmm. we did kind of focus on the Democrats. Now, she says she's the kind of person that doesn't need to see it from the Democrats as long as they're working hard behind the scenes. But I am the one who needs to see it. I mm-hmm. need to see it. And I feel like with Hakeem Jeffries, and I spoke about him specifically because I do call his office every single day and mm-hmm. I just leave a message and I'm civil. I don't use profanity or anything like that. And I'm saying that for people out there. If you're feeling angry and you want to contact your electeds, please, please be civil because they will write you off if all you do is scream fuck and everything. No. So anyway.
Such good advice. Okay.
And I mean, of course, we all want to. We all want to scream.
Yeah, but you're right.
Yeah, and I definitely get, while I'm leaving my messages, I always feel like emotional, not crying emotional, but like,
yeah,
I'm angry and I emphasize certain words, and I don't just say it like a nice little sweetheart, but at the same time, I don't sound menacing. I basically just use the anger that I have to say, why are you not standing up for us?
Right.
And you know, one day I read, it was a tweet from, oh, what's her name? Mia Farrow. And, you know, it was about Jeffries specifically. And so I said, you know, this is what Mia Farrow posted on Blue Sky. I retweeted it. It has many, you know, many people are retweeting it or reposting it, and they're in agreement with her. So I'm in agreement with her, and I'm reading this. Like, why are you being so weak? And it's just, I don't know what's going to happen because, you know, I mean, Senator, I have to just share this because I'm going to fucking go after this guy. Mark Warner said, you know, well, I don't, you know, I don't really like this president, but I respect the office of the president. So, you know, I'm going to support him. And he's done some really great things on the border, and we have to recognize that.
Yeah.
And okay, so I think I've told this story before, but I'm going to tell it again because fuck Mark Warner. back in 20, I believe it was 2013, I was going after any Democratic representative or senator who was not, well, at that time it was a representative. I'm pretty sure. I don't know. It was probably both. But anyway, there was a resolution to remove the deadline from the Equal Rights Amendment. And so I, you know, if somebody refused to sign on, it wasn't even a vote. It was just a resolution. And Warner wouldn't do it. So I contact the office. I let them know, you know, I had a huge reach on Facebook at that time. That's all before Zuckerberg killed everything.
Yeah.
And, I wrote for Liberals Unite, and that particular site, we had a huge reach. We had lots and lots of pages. We could get shares from big pages like Being Liberal.
Sure. Yeah.
So I let them know that. And I said, okay, I'm going to write this article saying that he's not even going to give me a reason. You know, at first I ask, you know, will you give me a reason why you're not going to sign it? And I didn't get anything. And I said, okay, well, I'm going to write this and it's not going to be favorable. And if you want to give, you know, if you want to provide a statement, that's great. I know I'm just a blogger, but I'm going to write about it. Right. So they just ignored me. Mm-hmm. And then I wrote it. And I told them, I said, here's what I'm going to say. It's coming out on Friday. And they ignored me. So then I release it. And it took about an hour. And I started hearing rumblings from the ERA activists who I was working with. Okay. And, you know, like, oh, they think Mark Werner's going to sign. So it took him an hour. And he signed the resolution. He was bullied into it. And that's kind of the whole point. But then the sideline is that Ben Cardin was the author of this resolution. He was the Democratic senator in Maryland. And I remember, I can't tell you this person's name, but it was an ERA activist. And she told me, she's like, yeah, Ben Cardin called me up. And he's like, who's this Kimberly Johnson? And, you know, what? And it's like, it was making me laugh because at the time I was just, you know, sitting in my bedroom in my robe writing a blog and I get the attention of Ben Cardin. But anyway, the whole point on this and to add to it was back when all those people were calling for Biden to step down. Mark Warner was threatening that he was going to do that. And so, you know, I did use what I have to kind of, you know, tag him online and everything. And eventually he did, because I didn't want him to do that. And he did kind of back down. So what I'm saying here is Mark Warner is, he's a senator from Virginia, but the guy is weak and he's flaccid and he caves. So I recommend people getting a hold of him and, you know, letting them know what they think. And I don't care if I don't, you know, there's this whole thing of people coming after you going, well, you have to live in Virginia. No, you don't. They have a DC number. This is extending beyond states.
I know a little bit of, and congratulations, because that's how it's done. It is. I know Warner because I lived in the DC area for several years while I worked for Stars and Stripes. And so I know of Warner. I know of Virginia politics, like fucking Terry McAuliffe, who I can't stand. But I think we're getting into something, I don't know if it's interesting, but let me put it this way. I think that there is a weariness with the Democratic old guard.
Yeah.
And I think the first sign that we were going to be in real trouble, I mean, aside from the damn election, was when Schumer and Durbin were really secretly voted to be our leaders in the Senate again. And yes. I just shook my head and I said, this is not going to be good. This is not going to be good. And so, I mean, here we are. They reshuffled the decks on the chairs on the Titanic a little bit. I mean, got fucking Amy Klobuchar still in there somewhere. Cory Booker, who I like, by the way, and who I think should be leading the Democratic Senate personally, and how that guy's not been president just blows my mind. But anyway, as soon as it was Schumer again, I knew we were in trouble.
Yeah.
Because we haven't learned a damn thing.
No. And, how? You know, how? Why?
Because I think that there is some truth to the people who say both parties are the same to some degree. And I want to be careful how I frame that. But I think that money, you know, Citizens United has polluted the waters so much.
Yeah, I agree with you.
That you have to almost muck around and do the bidding of these millionaires and billionaires who are basically controlling our country right now. Right. And so that's a Democrat and a Republican. I can tell you here in Wisconsin, we have a tremendously important race on April 1st that'll basically decide the state of our Supreme Court here. And Musk is already in the state spending millions, millions, you know. And so how do you combat that if you're a Democrat? You know, right. $20 from this person, $10 from that person is nice. It really is. But it's hard to fight that kind of money. So to go back to it, I do think that the people who say both parties are the same, that's more accurate than it's not.
It's sad because, you know, I know that there are these Democratic elected officials who are paid by the lobbyists and they're getting money from corporations and all that stuff. And then, yeah. So, I mean, it's really depressing because, I mean, I don't know how to overcome that. We need money to win. And so
I can tell you how you overcome it, Kimberly.
Okay.
You know, better messaging.
Yes, I agree.
Really? I mean, that's, and I know we always say that better messaging, better. And Democrats have been saying this you know, it's true. Our messaging stinks. And again, I go back to the point where we're now 6+ weeks into this administration. And tell me what the overriding Democratic message is right now.
Yeah, there isn't one. And, you know, the thing is, I do want to say this, though, because the Republican messaging isn't pretty much, it's not coming from the leaders. It's not coming from the legislators. It's coming from the Frank Luntzes and the think tanks and So what these people really know how to do is that their messaging, I should say, is so effective because they understand human psychology. Mm-hmm. It's just like advertising executives. Mm-hmm. You have to apply the same psychology to, you know, political messaging as you do to selling a product.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that I don't think it's fair to attack the party per se because of the messaging, because I don't think, you know, like the Republican Party is, yes, they have something to do with messaging, but it's mostly the surrogates. It's mostly those think tanks and the Frank Luntz types. And, you know, they come up with it wasn't Frank Luntz because it came up early. I can't remember what year, but it was years and years and years ago, 20s, 30s, something like that, where somebody said Democrat Party because it sounds like rat. And it's basically to make – and what I'm seeing, unfortunately, is I'm seeing even Democrats who don't know any better use that term. It's really a put down. It's really, you know, there's a term in my head and it's just escaping me, epithet. But it's basically saying, you know, fuck you. And then Democrats are saying it because they don't even know any better because the Republican messaging is so effective.
Well, let me write you, you're onto it. And I sent you something just before this talk about Musk's gang of corporate raiders. I read an NBC News story who called it the Department of Government Efficiency. There's no fucking Department of Government Efficiency. What, you know, that is amazingly shoddy journalism. And I see it all over the place. There's no department.
No.
There's nothing like reputable about what they're doing. It's a shakedown. Mm-hmm. It's insane. And yet whoever are calling it the Department of Government. There is none. It doesn't exist. And we're already calling it this. So you talk about the brilliance, the evil genius of the messengers for Republicans. You're right.
Yeah.
You know? I mean,
they've got the news media, right, basically. I mean, you know, we know that, you know, Black History Month, MSNBC decided to basically get rid of all the people of color.
Yeah.
And and I haven't watched since November 5th. I'm not going to watch. And, you know, and some people were shaming me. So many fucking liberal scolds out there. I'm going to talk about those in a minute.
Good.
But all these fucking liberal scolds,
good,
you know, saying, oh, you're, you know, well, what about Lawrence and what about Rachel? Look, you're going to do your thing. I'm going to do my thing. The reason I can't bring myself to watch MSNBC is because of the CEO. I love Lawrence O'Donnell. And I, you know, I really respect Rachel Maddow is so incredibly intelligent. I know she's on the right side of history. But unfortunately, the CEO is making the decisions for that network. And that means that while people like Rachel Maddow and Lawrence O'Donnell are going to do their best to get you the information that's important, they've been told you can't talk about X, Y, and Z. So they have to work their way around it. And yes, I think it's better to have them than not have anything. But at this point, I don't even know. I mean, I know that millions of people watch cable news, but young people aren't watching. It's mostly older people.
Right.
And, you know, what I see is that they're just catering to the audience. And the audience is on the side of the fascists right now. And so I see MSNBC catering to them.
No, I'm with you. I was never a big consumer, to be fair, of MSNBC anyway. I've always had a grudge against TV news as a print journalist, and I did have. So I don't really like them very much. They're so shoddy in the way they go about their business. However, you know, Maddow is wildly smart. When I do see her stuff, I generally learn something, and I really appreciate that. You know, Lawrence O'Donnell's a steady guy, but, you know, I want to be careful to insult anybody in your audience here. He's also comes from this old Democratic guard that this cautious, I don't know, mealy mouth kind of approach to things that we've just got to get away from now. You know, I can't say this enough. We are under attack. And if that sounds crazy, I don't care. You know, this is what the people in Germany were saying in the 1930s. They'd say, it's bad, we're under attack, and they'd laugh it.
Yeah.
Right? And so these are, we are right there right now in the United States of America, and I'm looking for leaders who will articulate this so that people understand, because we know we're a country of idiots. And if we weren't a country of idiots, we wouldn't be here right now.
I know. It's so depressing. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well, I want to switch over and talk about this boycott situation.
People anyway, we better switch over.
Okay, we have to take a quick break, but we'll be back after this message. Hey, this is Kimberly, the host of the show you're listening to right now. If you like what you hear, please consider becoming a patron at patreon.com/startmeup. Just take a look at all the tiers, pick one, and be my patron today. Thank you in advance. Well, I want to talk about the boycott situation because, you know, aside from the fact, I mean, I want to bitch a little bit, but first I'm going to say that there were, let me go get this thing from my Facebook. I think it was like, I posted it on Facebook, but there was some information, and don't give me any shit for being on Facebook, people. I really don't want to. I've already been called a Nazi. I've been called a Nazi sympathizer today. Anyway, so they've got the February 28 boycott early results, right? So this is from Forbes. Uh-huh. And it's specifically, I'm only going to give you one store because I've got Target, the information on Target. Now this little meme that I posted, it says the Target website traffic was down 9% and Walmart was also down 9%. This was only website traffic.
Yeah.
But this says on blackout day, Target website visitors dropped 9% compared to Friday, February 14th from 5.2 million to 4.7 million.
Okay.
And then same thing with Target app users. Well, let's see. Down 14% from 4.2 to 3.5. Now, that's not a huge number, although it's pretty significant.
Sure.
This was my hope as far as I understood that this was, number one, the first economic blackout of this, I'm going to call it a regime. And I didn't know.
It is.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I didn't know if it, you know, what was going to happen. And I thought, well, if we just see even a slight drop, that's good, because it means enough of us are paying attention that we made a difference. And I think 9% down on website traffic alone, I think that's pretty significant. Now, tomorrow it starts the 7-day boycott of Amazon. And this is where I'm going to, and I'm engaging in this, and this is where I'm going to start fucking complaining, because, oh my God, you know, I keep posting about these boycotts. And I think, you know, for me, we need to boycott in every way that we can. Nobody knows how much longer we're going to be able to hold signs and, you know, peacefully protest out in the world before we start getting arrested, shot, or martial law is declared.
Right.
So this is something that we can do without fear and with basically you're pretty comfortable. Right. Because I usually shop on Fridays. I do my grocery store shopping on Fridays and I don't like to do it any other time. And I'm very, very, very rigid when it comes to my schedule. But I thought, well, I'm not going to go. I'll just go on Saturday. And I didn't want to go on Saturday. I mean, I can't even describe to you. I know it's like first world problems and it's not that big of a deal, but I fucking didn't want to do it. But I did it. I did it on Saturday. And, you know, I know that all those people out there who said, okay, well, I'm going to do it too, we made somewhat of a difference. With the Amazon thing, whenever you post about it, there's all these fucking liberal scolds. And, you know, I mean, I've been in this game for a while now online, and liberals want blood when they're pissed. And so there are these liberals out there, Democrats, whatever you want to fucking call them, and they don't shop on Amazon and they run around and they're screaming at everybody and you shouldn't be buying anything from Amazon. And then you see people come on and say, well, you know, I'm disabled and I can only get it from Amazon. And so the way I look at it is I don't give a shit where you shop. I'm not going to shame you. I feel like if you've got your story, and this is why I was called a sympathizer, because I was just telling everybody, fucking stop with the scold. Stop with the fucking scold, because and stop with the whole, well, I can't, because if you can't, you can't. You don't owe anybody an explanation. If you can't do the boycott for whatever reason, don't worry about it. Do the next one.
Right.
You know, because there's going to be more. And because we saw some results in this, I believe the momentum will continue to pick up because, as you've stated, we're under attack. We're going, you know, right. More Americans, especially those Americans who don't vote, are going to start recognizing, oh, wait a minute, some shit's going down here. They're going to start paying attention. So anyway, I just wanted to vent because I am so tired of all these people who are shaking their finger at the idea of, well, you didn't cancel your Amazon Prime. You're a Nazi Prime. You're a Nazi sympathizer. Fuck you. You know, it's not up to you. All these liberal scolds are purists. Purists are why we're here. So anyway.
Well, no, listen, you're on to something very interesting and important right now that I've thought about too. And what a different place we are as Democrats and liberals. By the way, I am not a Democrat. I am an independent. I vote with Democrats for many, many years now. But as a journalist, I was an independent. I remain an independent. However, if you look at the difference between you, the way you and I are talking to each other right now, and the way we're comporting ourselves since, say, 2018, it's a sea change, right?
Yeah.
And our reaction in 2018, I thought rightfully, was to just put all the bullshit aside, band together, and win the Congress. It seemed like our only chance, and we did. And we won three governor's races, and we did fine because we had to survive, you know? I mean, it felt to me back then that if we didn't win the Congress and then ultimately get Pelosi as the House Speaker, we were probably done. You know, and Trump was very much interested in finishing us then. He's just in a better place to do it now. Well, now we're not, we are in different camps in some ways as Democrats, liberals, independents, and attacking this in different ways. We're not coalescing together necessarily, but we're allowing ourselves to speak more freely about things. Just before I got on this podcast with you, Kimberly, I don't know if you saw Governor Newsom coming out on the trans issue.
Which no, I didn't.
Very significant. He is splitting with Democrats on transgender athletes, calling it deeply unfair, right? That's significant.
So what he's saying that trans athletes, what is he saying exactly?
He's basically saying that it's unfair if a person transitions to a woman and competes with women.
I see. Okay.
Okay. And so this is an issue that beat the living tar out of us in the election. Like it or not, we got hurt by it because we had no response to it. And it beat us up. And it's an issue and I'm not saying it's not an important issue, but when you're comparing it to what's going on with the attack on our democracy, the attack on our government, all of this really bad shit, this is the stuff we need to concentrate on, right? And so this is a long way of saying we are openly disagreeing with each other. I don't think that's a bad thing, right? We're not being the good little liberal or the bad little liberal. We're trying to formulate a way forward, right?
Yeah.
What all of us, no matter what we think on these individual things, want, I believe, is some pushback from our democratic leadership, right? Yeah. Just we can all agree that fascism is bad.
Yeah.
It's bad, right? So why are we not pushing back against this? Where is Hakeem Jeffries? Where is Chuck Schumer? Every single day they should be on the Capitol set somewhere holding court. You know, shadow cabinets. You know, I think Timothy Snyder came up with that idea. It's a fantastic idea, right? Where's the bold pushback? Where is this coming from? Because we're not going to survive this.
No.
It's not. I honestly think that the odds of an election in 2028 are at about 50-50 if we're lucky. That's what I think.
Well, you know, I'm just going to throw in for the 2026 election. I've said this before on my show, but and I've posted about it. But if they start going after, you know, so if they really drastically cut Social Security and Medicaid, and they pass the SAVE Act, I think what I'm trying to say is if they do things that show us they're not afraid of voters, that concerns me. And what? if they do pass the SAVE Act, which for those of you who don't know, requires a birth certificate, I think they're going to there's all kinds of other things to this. It's not just this. So please don't get stuck on this one thing. Mm-hmm. But it's just making voting harder altogether. But you have to go re-register in many cases, re-register to vote. And then you have to have a birth certificate. So if you're a married woman who changed her name and your name doesn't match, you're not going to be able to vote. If you're right. a trans person who changed your name legally, but it's not on your birth, you will be thrown off the rolls. If you are an adopted person, same story, you will be thrown off the rolls. That's just one thing they're doing. Yeah. There's all these other things they're doing. So again, don't just get stuck on the birth certificate, because it's another thing that I'm seeing, you know, when I was posting about the SAVE Act before, you know, I would see Democrats come on and go, oh, I don't see a problem with this. It's because they don't even understand what the bill is. They yeah. see one little thing and they're like, oh, that's I didn't change my name, so I'm okay.
Yeah.
It's like, wake the fuck up.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
and so yeah. if this act is passed, I don't think we're going to, you know, we'll have elections, but they'll be bullshit, because what the GOP is trying to do, if they don't just straight up cheat illegally, they're mm-hmm. trying to legally, in their own way, make it so that only white men are going to vote, period.
That's right. And listen, man, this is all gospel. And I hope everybody's hearing what you're saying right now, because Trump doesn't want another election. We know this. He hates elections. Yeah. He hates them. It's not a question of whether the current president of the United States likes elections or believes in them. He doesn't. Okay. Right. He doesn't. All right. So let's report on that mm-hmm. honestly and accurately for once. The other thing that he has in his hip pocket, well, there's two things. And they're associated with one another. One is he can declare a national emergency anytime he wants. And this is what people need to watch.
Mm-hmm.
The minute he thinks it's going south for him somehow, a poll comes out like the one recently in NPR that shows him underwater,
mm-hmm.
right? He will declare some sort of national emergency. That this is going to happen. Mark my words. I hope everybody's bookmarking it. This is what's going to happen. Then what will happen? Republicans Democrats or whomever, maybe hopefully Republicans will challenge that somehow. Mm-hmm. We'll go to the courts and our Supreme Court. What do you think they're going to do?
Well, we don't know, do we?
We don't know, but I have a freaking hunch. I know.
Yeah, we have a hunch, and
he
we
literally
have a good
thanked John Roberts during the State of the Union.
Yeah,
after the State of the Union for anointing him a king, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so even if the Supreme Court doesn't go along with it, Trump is still going to act like the king. He still has roughly, I don't know what it is, 30% of the Americans who will literally slam their faces into the wall for him.
I know. Right?
You know, so we are, you know, and this goes back to the piece that I wrote. We are headed to this place, whether we like it or not, whether we want to believe it or not, the sooner we can get our heads around the fact that it's going to get really bad, the better. And yeah. the sooner this is articulated by people who are smarter than me, who have more bandwidth than me, the better.
Yeah.
We need to understand it. It's going to happen.
Yeah, I think, you know, Wajahat Ali keeps posting, you know, hey, everybody, it's going to get much worse. It's going to get much. And, you know, I think we were all in this kind of a bubble. I mean, I'm not going to say bubble and that we didn't understand what was happening. But after the election, up until Inauguration Day, it was, for me, I had about 6 weeks of a churning stomach pain. I don't know, for some reason on Thanksgiving, I was able to overcome that. And then I allowed myself to kind of enjoy the holidays, even though this was all looming.
Yeah.
You know, but then day one starts and everything goes crazy. And mm-hmm. here we are. And I think that I don't think most of us are prepared for what we're going to see. And, you know, I think they're, you know, everybody's trying to hold on to any kind of hope that they can find. Any, you know, I know my boyfriend will send me articles when Donald Trump does something because, you know, he walks back something he wanted to do, because I know Bob is desperately hoping that there's going to be something that can be done. And, you know, I don't know. The only thing that I keep going on is, because this is so early, it's kind of the shock and awe phase. And it I hate using that, but this, they're,
I use those words exactly in that piece, but go ahead.
Yeah. And so it was like that shock and awe thing that we're all just standing there going, huh? And not that you were surprised or that I was surprised about any of this. Although, you know, I don't think we were expecting Elon Musk to go do what he's doing. I don't think anybody expected that. I think everybody expected bullshit, you know, all kinds of corruption. And but what they're actually doing, I think they have surpassed, at least for me, I'm speaking for me, they have surpassed my expectations. So I'm, you know, I'm worried about this. I want to bring in one more thing before we close.
Sure.
I mean, I want to ask you about this, because I even saw, who I'm not the biggest fan of, George Conway, but whatever. you know, he posted, he's like, so are the tariffs in effect, or what's going on with the tariffs? And it's like that. I said that to my boyfriend this morning. I'm like, so what's happening with the tariffs? And, you know, I know Bob, my boyfriend, was talking about this. Bob Saska, for those who don't know, he was talking about this in 2020, that they were gaming the system so that they could play off the stock market and make money themselves.
Right.
And that was something that, you know, came out the other day. I don't know, some person on Blue Sky was saying, you know, here's what they're doing. They're shorting and they're doing this, and they're, you know, they're making the announcement, and then everything spikes. They take their money and then it all falls apart, whatever. I don't even understand it very well, so you'll just have to excuse my ignorance on this. But ultimately, they're gaming system. So do you know what's going on with the fucking tariffs?
As far as
what? Well, there were supposed to be tariffs in Mexico and Canada, but then the night of the State of the Union, I heard that they probably weren't going to happen. And
well,
so
what happened this morning officially is that Trump has temporarily stepped away from the tariffs in Mexico.
Okay, but what about Canada?
I am not sure about Canada right now where they are, though he has posited that this is going to happen too. That I know that he's temporarily suspended them with the automakers, right? Because that was a disaster. They're just a disaster, right? Everybody knows they're a disaster. So he stepped away in Mexico today, and the Mexican president, who I've been very impressed with, unfortunately or fortunately thanked him for it. So he, careful with my parlance here, but he slapped her around and she said, okay, you know, thanks for slapping me around, you know, because basically everything he does is sort of like that. He's such a fucking asshole. But at any rate, and so that's kind of where we are right now. The tariffs are no win. Look at the stock market, right? Even MAGA has to look at the stock market and see what's happening. It's completely underwater right now.
Yeah, MAGA is invested.
Yeah, no, and they used to bring this up regularly with Biden, et cetera, even though, of course, he took the stock market up in the end. But and so that's a very real type thing, if you will, that the tariffs aren't going to work. We know they're not going to work, man. You know,
Like, I'm wondering if, because we saw the threat of tariffs back in, I don't know what, it feels like we've been dealing with this now forever, but, you know, was it February? I don't know. So they were supposed to go into effect and then they didn't go into effect. They absolutely affect the stock market. And so I don't know if this whole, and this is two pronged, because number one, A, are they gaming the system so they can make money themselves? B, are they feeling like there is some kind of, I don't know if it would be voter backlash that they're afraid of. But see, that's what I keep looking for. I keep looking for any actions, whether it's a walk back on, you know, I think that there were certain federal jobs that are not, people are going to keep their jobs or whatever. Trump walks something back. That's an article that Bob sent to me to, like, here's something to be hopeful for. It's my opinion, a small, very hopeful thing. I'm not even speaking well, but it's small. But I feel like what I'm looking for is, are they behaving like they are worried about elections?
No, they're behaving like Russia.
Yeah.
God damn it. The oligarchy is alive in America and it is running us right now.
Yeah.
I want that underlined and in bold. People need to understand this. This is why Musk is involved. They are making so much money off of us. It should be a death knell that you even talk about touching Social Security. Yet here we are. Right? That should have been a political killer. You can never talk about stuff like this. But again, here we are. Cutting back from the Veterans Administration?
Yeah, I know.
You know, he is trying, and I try not to sound like the crazy guy at the top of the building, but I don't care anymore. He wants us to be Russia. I believe, just me, that Putin definitely has compromise on Trump.
Oh, yeah.
He has to have something on Trump.
Oh, I think what he has is little girls.
I think so too, right? And I think that, you know, what happened after the Mueller report is one of the key points in American history when Bill Barr basically put the whole thing to bed and everybody went along with it. That was the turning point of everything in my mind. There's no question that Russia helped Trump win. You know, was there collusion? I think there was. They said,
me too.
Mueller said, I'm not really sure, but Congress should look at it. Well, we know what happened with that. We know what Marco Rubio said about this because he headed the committee that said, in fact, that Russia did help Trump win the election in 2016. They're still helping Trump win elections. Why in God's name is this not a bigger story? Why isn't it the only story?
Well, I think it's, again, it's because the CEOs of the news stations are more concerned about viewership and less concerned about democracy. That's
fair.
Why.
Fair.
And that's why I can't fucking watch it. I won't watch fair. It. And I mean, I had MSNBC on every single night. I didn't always watch every show. Sometimes I had it down, you know, the sound was down for whatever reason. But I was constantly, you know, aside from being online and getting my news online, I would watch MSNBC all the time. And at this point, it's like, no, I don't care that there are good people there. I don't care. First of all, those good people are wealthy and they're going to be fine no matter what.
Right.
And then the rest of us, you know, I mean, whether Lawrence O'Donnell is on or, you know, if Lawrence O'Donnell wasn't on MSNBC or Rachel Maddow or any of them, if you love these people, they're going to come out and have, just like with Jim Acosta, they're going to have a Substack. They're going to get their word out there.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah.
Yes. It's you know, there is some good news in the fact, and you said this earlier, that the younger folks aren't watching that stuff anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed. And so it is good news for people like you and me and independent thinkers like us that people are finding their way to the stuff that we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we're not scared to tell the truth.
Yeah.
We're not being bullied by corporate bosses to tell the truth. And I'll just say this very bluntly. Any journalist who goes along with this working at MSNBC or the Washington Post can go fuck themselves. Seriously. I went through that at Stars and Stripes, and I didn't like the decision, and that was the end.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to go along with this shit. So they don't get any sympathy from me. I thought what Jennifer Rubin did was the right thing to do. I don't always agree with Jen Rubin.
I think
she's a damn good writer, and I think that she gets to the points very well. Again, I don't always agree with her, but she did the right thing. She got the hell out of there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we need more of that. So, again, if we're looking for good news, Bob seems to be a guy who chases good news. it's that there, and good for him. We need more of that. The good news is that people are finding the truth in other places.
Yeah, and that's, I think, you know, it all boils down to, for the longest time, we were trying to make the argument with people on the far left or even on the right that, you know, it's not like you burn it all down and then poof, democracy. But when you do burn it all down, and it's being all burned down right now, Rome is burning, that it gives you an opportunity to start fresh. And so, you know, I mean, there's going to be carnage, there's going to be damage, there's going to be all kinds of really horrible things along the way when you burn stuff down. It burns down. And, you know, unfortunately, people are going to die because of Republican legislation, fascist legislation. Yeah. Women have already died because of abortion legislation or anti-abortion legislation.
On top of the 250,000 people who needlessly died in COVID. But go ahead.
Yes. And so, I mean, there's going to be death. And I mean, there's nothing that I can do about it. So we got to be blunt and we got to say the stuff that nobody wanted to say. You know, nobody wanted to fucking say Nazi back in 2014. But the Tea Party, it was clear They had Nazi ideology. Maybe not Germany, 1930 Germany Nazi. It's morphed into the new millennium, fascism in America. But it's still the same ideology. They might execute it differently.
What did the Tea Party lead to?
Yeah, this.
Right. Right? It was a stepping stone.
Yes. And so is the moral majority. Back in the 80s when they who was it? It was Newt Gingrich and a bunch of other ones who didn't even have legislative power. They weren't in the government. Right. But this is exactly what I'm talking about. The moral majority was a messaging center that, and Sherry Jacobus talks about this a lot. Bob and I had dinner with Sherry Jacobus last year, and she was talking about, and I don't remember who it was. It might have been Newt. It might have been Rush Limbaugh. I don't know. It was one of them. Yeah. But they would have all of these think tank kind of things, and they would send people like Sherry to go learn and understand how to message effectively. And, I think you don't have to like Sherry Jacobus, but I think she's very, I'm just saying, I know everybody out there has got their own opinions.
No, I know.
But it's like, she knows what she's talking about, whether you agree with her or not. She knows how to put it out there in a convincing way. And I think that's the thing that we're lacking right now on the side. And I'm not even going to call it Democrats. We need pro-democracy because, I've said this before where Liz Cheney, she is on camera and you can Google her. So she's on camera saying that, Democrats think it's okay that if we have a baby and we don't want it, we just kill it. That was like one of Donald Trump's talking points. And she was echoing it. So she's, aside from the fact that she's wrong, I think she voted with Donald Trump 90 some percent of the time, but she's pro-democracy. And so I think what we need right now is a coalition of people who are pro-democracy. And I don't care if you did vote for Donald, it's upsetting to me. But if you did vote for Donald and you now see the light and you want to come over and you're not fucking, insisting on your bigotry. I mean, if you're still there, then fuck you. But, if you're like, okay, I get it now and I understand. Not that you're all of a sudden this liberal who's, got the rainbow flag in your window.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
If you understand, oh, wait a minute, I'm pro-democracy. We're a big country and we're all going to have different ideas about things. But I'd rather vote for someone who's going to let, people have pronouns than people who are going to steal all of my social security money.
I think what you're getting to, and I agree with wholeheartedly, though through clenched teeth lately, is that the door always has to be open to people coming over who see the light.
Yeah, we have
always to. Has to be.
Or we don't have a country. The country just goes to Elon Musk.
Correct. And so a lot of that goes with how we frame our message and what we are as a party and what we stand for.
Yeah.
Right. And so I, again, am not satisfied at all with the leadership in the Democratic Party right now. I will be staying on this for a while. I believe that Chuck Schumer needs to go.
I agree.
He does. He needs to go. And I will be a part of any effort that helps remove him. He's not the answer.
Not
the answer. It's, what I maybe I'll leave you with this quote from the piece that I wrote. But I asked this: what would you do if everything you had and everyone you loved was threatened? Would you act like Zelensky or Schumer? Well, to me, that should be the litmus test.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I mean, it's exactly on point.
I'd like to think so. I mean, it's just that easy, And so, I'll leave it there.
Well, I just want to encourage everybody, if you haven't read it, please go to Earl's Substack and read There Will Be Blood. Your Substack is called Enough Already. yeah, that's right. It took me a second, but Enough Already. And so before I let you go, though, as I usually tell all my guests, just, let everybody know where to find you, obviously on your Substack, but where else can we find you?
Yeah, D. Earl Stevens at Substack is a great place, and I am not on Twitter anymore. I refuse to be there. So really the best place to find me is on Blue Sky.
Okay.
And awesome. I know what my handle is. It's probably about the same thing. Look it up. Just look up D. Earl Stevens and you'll find my young, bright, young, beautiful face.
They definitely need a little better system of the, because you are, let's see what you are. You're D. Earl Stevens, and then it's dot blue sky dot, or
Oh, there it is. I
BSKI,
see it
BS.
too.
Yeah,
Yeah.
they need to get rid of that BSKY dot social crap. That's just too long.
Agreed. Yeah. Like I said, you're better off just searching D. Earl Stevens
Yeah,
and
D. Earl Stevens.
you'll see my stuff, I should say, on Raw Story also.
Yes.
The stuff regularly goes up there. And the piece we're talking about making a lot of noise there today, so I'm heartened by that.
Good. Yay. Well,
Yeah,
thank you for writing it, and thank you for being on my show again. And we just need to rage out every once in a while. And I certainly kept it together. I really want to just scream.
Yeah, no, you screamed a little bit. That's good. You can always scream with me, and I really appreciate the invite and being here as always. Anytime.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, and I'm sure we'll talk again.
Good.
All right, take care.
Okay, see ya.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.
I'm Frances Callier.
And I'm Angela V. Shelton.
And we're Frangela.
You know what you need in your life? The Final Word podcast.
Yes, you do.
That's right. It is the final word on all things political and pop cultural.
Where we make real news real funny.
Where we inspire you so you can hashtag resist.
Subscribe and get a new episode of the Final Word podcast each week. It's the news we think you need to hear.
That's right. We think you need to hear it. Okay.
Yeah, it's what we say so.
That's right. And because all we do is give, every Thursday you can listen to our hysterical podcast, Idiot of the Week.
We round up the stupid because you know what? Somebody has to.
Okay. All we do is give.